Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Halle.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
We're getting into our feelings this week.
I've already started crying.
Crying in the studio. And we're talking about friendship breakups. So the term breakup is usually reserved for romantic relationships. Yes. But really, I found that what we're deeming as friendship breakups can be just as devastating, if not sometimes more devastating than romantic breakups.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I was thinking about this when we were planning this episode out, and I realized that I've been through more friendship breakups than romantic breakups. And I do think that they hurt in different ways for me. I think that with like romantic relationships, there's always this, not always, but in a lot of ways, there's kind of this like point in which the relationship ends. Like, romantic relationships can end in like plenty of different ways, but because it is an established relationship deemed in like society's eyes as like you are partnered with this most likely one other person.
Right.
And then
you must communicate about what that relationship looks like.
So when it ends and it's done and it's like, okay, now it's time to mourn that, or you go and party, or you go and talk to people. Like,
coping mechanisms.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not here to judge anyone for their coping mechanisms. But I find that, like, that's not always given. Actually, I would say usually not given to when a relationship, a friendship ends.
Yeah.
And it's not really taken in the same way if you were to go to someone and be like, yeah, you know, like, me and so-and-so got into this really big fight. I mean, I'm sure that people talk about it, but I just don't think people treat it the same way.
Yeah, and we'll go into some examples of this, but there's also just a lot of ways that those friendship relationships can end, whether that's drifting apart or if there's kind of a big dramatic fight, as you said, and that can also kind of complicate things as well. And yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about the similarities and differences between our romantic relationships with our platonic relationships, but for me, like, it feels painful to have that breakup with a friend because you kind of feel like when you enter into a friendship that you always have that friendship.
Absolutely.
Whereas, you know, with romantic relationships, you kind of go into it, maybe not at first, but you're kind of aware of the fact that there could be a breakup. Like, either the relationship ends or this is the person you're with forever.
Yeah.
And at least at the age that we're at, maybe it's a bit more common and more realistic to say that those romantic relationships probably will come to an end.
Yeah.
And you can kind of prepare for that. And that's maybe even an expectation for some people.
Yeah.
But I think with friendships, you really don't walk into it thinking that's going to have a dramatic or bitter ending to it.
No. And I think back to, like, I think the classic example is, you know, your first year friend group. Mm-hmm. And you all meet. And I think that when you enter university, you know, everybody is all over the place. And like, for me, my closest friends in first year was my roommate and the girl who lived across the
way.
We didn't like get to, I mean, you know, we were great friends. We found commonalities, but we really did get together because of proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many people enter their first year friendships being like, I'm going to know these people for the rest of my life. And then sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But more often than not, those friendships end, and they end in like some pretty dramatic ways sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an expectation for me when I enter into like a new friendship. I think that when I enter into romantic relationships, one of the first things I think about is, oh God, this is going so well. What's going to happen when we break up? Which is, you know, not healthy in that way, but it's what I think about.
Yeah.
But I almost would never think about entering into a friendship and being like, what's going to happen when this friendship is done? It's always about growing closer for me and like learning more.
Yeah, like, how is this friendship and this relationship going to blossom into something even better? And if you know, the dynamics do change, you kind of expect that maybe it's circumstance. Maybe right. you live further away or you move cities or some other exterior factor is the yeah. reason why that relationship will look different and not because of conflict.
Yeah. And I don't know if you feel this way, but, like, I feel that, like, because I see my friends, like, just being in my life forever, like, I will just, like, imagine, even when I think about, like, distance and whatnot, like, I'll always just, like, picture the people I have in my life currently as just existing further down the line, even yeah. though I find that in university, because everyone's changing so much, yeah. obviously your friends are going to change in and out, mm-hmm. but it's just so, I do really wonder why we don't think about it in similar ways all the time, mm. and, like, why we don't, like, consider those, like, why is it that we don't, like, jump into friendships thinking maybe of the possibility that they, like, could end and, like, preparing
yeah.
for that?
Yeah, and also just considering, you know, the longevity of our life, and hopefully we are changing and growing, and sometimes the people in our lives can change and grow in a way that complements our own personal growth,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes those people are changing and growing in ways that really contradict the way that we're changing and growing. And I think that's where a lot of friendship breakups are really born.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering for you, as, you know, someone who's gone through friendship breakups, I think everyone has, what do you think the most painful part of friendship breakups are?
You know, it's tricky. A lot of it is painful.
It's all quite painful.
Really. But I think that I consider myself to be a very loyal person, and particularly a very loyal friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself having those expectations of loyalty for my friends and towards me. I had an interesting conversation about the concept of loyalty with my friends Abril and Tessa a few weeks ago. And they had a very interesting perception of loyalty, where they kind of perceived it as more like possessive, but I kind of shared, I hadn't really considered myself a loyal friend until some friends of mine kind of pointed out to me of like, oh, you're very loyal.
Yeah.
And that's why you have these expectations of other people.
Yeah.
And so I've started kind of identifying with that trait.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I really hold as a high value in my friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go through a friendship breakup, that person kind of no longer has that loyalty to you.
Right.
They don't owe you that loyalty, and you can't have that expectation of them.
Mm.
Just in the same way that they can't really have that expectation of you. And if this is a close friend, you've probably been vulnerable with them. You've probably really let your guard down, your walls down,
yeah.
and shared yourself with them in a really authentic way. And when they're your friend, they're not judging you, hopefully.
Right.
They're accepting you and loving you for who you are and what you've shared with them. But once something happens and a breakup yeah. occurs, you know, you don't have that loyalty, you don't have that trust, but they
know everything.
They know you. They know the side of you that you have felt comfortable enough showing them. And
yeah.
that's really terrifying to me.
Yeah, I was just talking to a friend on the bus on my way here, where I was like, I can think of quite a few people that know a lot about my life and know a lot about, you know, different, like, aspects of my life that just we don't have a relationship anymore. And, like, I always really fear, like, oh, God, like, what could they do with that information? What can they tell other people in my life? And, like, I think that, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to, like, leave friendships and then start, like, spilling all the beans of their past
yeah.
friends. But I think it's definitely a really scary concept mm-hmm. to being, like, even if they don't say anything, you don't talk to this person
yeah.
that at some point, like, maybe in this concept, was someone that you went to for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they know, like, all this information yeah. about you, and you just don't get to talk about that
yeah.
anymore. That's always the weirdest thing for yeah. me, leaving a friendship.
Yeah, and seeing someone as kind and feeling as though you know them, and that
mm-hmm.
if anything were to happen, you would know about it.
Right.
But then kind of being in the dark about what conversations may look like involving you now that they're in.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember thinking about that once with a friend that like we had ended our friendship, and then I knew who they were like going and speaking to, and I was like, oh my God, like the amount of information you have about me now and how I can only imagine what you're discussing at this point. And like, and also I feel like I'm always somewhat nervous that things that maybe they wouldn't have been judgmental about in our friendship, now that they've left it, all I can think about is like, oh, you're taking all these things.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that's more of just like a projection of like myself and like what I'm thinking about it. But it is a genuine, like, I really do think about it a lot. And it's just like so many people walking around and just knowing all this information about me.
Yeah. And when they're your friend, you can assume that they like you.
Yeah, I would hope.
And if you've had a negative experience where you've had a friendship breakup with this person, you might assume that that person doesn't like you. So, you know, what does that say for the conversations that they're having about you?
Oh, God.
So we sent out a fun little survey again this week asking you all to tell us about your experiences with friendship breakups, and we're going to be reading some of those responses after the break. But before we do that, we've got our song segment. When we were having a meeting about this and Holly suggested this song, we played a little bit of it and we started getting very emotional listening to it. And
it's
that's how we knew
song.
It would be the perfect song. So we're going to listen to Are We Still Friends by Tyler, the Creator. And when we come back, we'll be reading some of your responses. Be right back.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer-based coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the Downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. This week, we're feeling a little hurt, a little betrayed. We're talking about friendship breakups.
We reached out to all of you lovely, lovely listeners and asked you to share some stories and feelings about your own personal friendship breakups. As always, thank you everyone that submitted. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to include every single person, but we do really enjoy reading all of your responses. Mm-hmm. And we really thank everyone for being very intimate and very open with us. It's very lovely to be like, there's other people on this other side that want to talk about all of this. So here's some of the stories. This first person is talking about something very relatable, I find, which is moving in with a friend and how that can end up affecting your relationship. So here's what they said. I went through a friendship breakup last year with my best friend of 7 years since middle school. We moved in together after he spent 2 years away. We didn't have any arguments for 2 weeks until we had a minor conflict, but it was nothing unresolvable. The next day, while I was away for a week, he texted saying one or both of us should move out for the sake of our mental health and friendship. Mm. Throughout the week, he didn't pick up any of my calls. He also showed no sympathy to me, considering I was going through personal issues, and he continuously refused to tell me the reason why. Mm. Withholding that information caused me stress for both my mental health and financial situation. Mm. And when I returned, he explained that I made the home unwelcoming and he didn't know how to use the space. And then parentheses, like he didn't know if he could use an obviously communal throw blanket on the couch. Very petty behavior. Although he apologized and said it was his fault, he said I needed to expect less from him since he had, quote, forgotten how to properly interact with people during our years apart.
Hmm. That's a new excuse.
That's an interesting thing to say. The conversation was civil and we were fine, but for some time he was hostile to me and my friends. He still pays rent and we technically still live together, but he lives at his girlfriend's place and we don't talk anymore. And then answering some of the prompts that I had put into the submission, they said it was different from a romantic breakup, although I don't think it was because it was a platonic relationship. It's just easier to part when the person is obviously horrible towards you and those around you. And they said that they've healed from it and saying, I know I deserved better and I have other relationships in my life to support me. I also recognize that he and his character are not the same as when we were friends. Mm-hmm. Also, I kept in mind that because he was able to do this now, he was always capable of doing this and could have done it in the future, which I find is a very mature response to whoever sent this in, because I think that so often with friendship breakups and like maybe some time of mourning that person, at least I really try to like reconcile with the situation and be like, maybe it was like this situation and like this thing and like blah, blah, blah. Like I could have made this work and we could have done this. And like maybe those situations are true. But I do think that when someone is like behaving in a very unfortunate manner, as this roommate seemed to be doing, keeping that thought in mind that like the person has this capability to do this and it might have been the situation, but also like there could have been something else that set them off in this, like further down the line, is something that I've really had to like work on figuring out, especially like in any type of like conflict, is like recognizing that certain behavior could have just happened even in the future, even if this one situation didn't show up.
Yeah, that's super true. Being able to zoom out and have the big picture of like, is it something about this person's character that caused this issue to arise?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't this, it could have been something else, and it could have been something worse.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot worse.
Yeah, but it's also extremely difficult to reconcile with what they were friends for 7 years since middle school.
Jesus.
So clearly there was things that they liked about each other and got along. And it's really hard to see someone change in a way that's really distasteful and be like, but I used to like you so much, but you're just not that person anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, as you pointed out at the very start of this, of moving in together and the way that that can really change a dynamic. And I've heard of so many friendships that have really fallen apart because two friends have moved in together. And I had a lot of people warning me about moving in with friends. Halle and I live together, for the record.
This is a good thing.
What, the past 3 years?
Yeah, this is our third year living together.
And
we hate each other.
That
was really funny.
Yeah, that was cute. No, we actually get along great as roommates, which is really lucky for us. But it's not everyone's case. And you can be the best of friends, and you can also not live well together. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be friends, but
maybe it means you shouldn't live together.
Definitely. And it can cause early endings to friendships where maybe they wouldn't have ended otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I remember because Violet and I have been living together for 3 years, but we also like have lived with other friends, and like the amount of times that I've heard from people like, do not move in with your friends. It is such a bad idea. And I was really like, for a long time, really against that statement. And I was like, no, it's great. I love living with my friends. But after some reflection, some of the friends that I have lived with in the past, I have to say that maybe our relationship would have survived if we didn't live together.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been really amazing points where, like, I have lived with friends in the past and then we don't live together anymore. And, like, our relationship is able to, like, be preserved by that. But I feel like my biggest thing with that is just, like, when you want to move in with a friend, you need to be so sure of like how you're gonna handle those situations if they crop up, like what's gonna happen if you do get into a fight, what is gonna happen if you please for the love of God discuss your living styles before moving in with your friends, and like really diving in deep into like how are we going to handle this if something comes up. And I know that, you know, obviously we live in Vancouver. Rent is extremely expensive. It makes so much sense to just like get a big house, live with all your friends and figure it out. And I do think that that can work out for some people. But I have experienced this, and I know so many other people have experienced this, of like you move in with people and your relationship can really, really break down fully
and
from it.
Once you take that step to being from friends to roommates, it's really hard to separate your friendship issues from your roommate issues.
Yeah.
And some people can do it, and a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
But I was really glad to hear this person say that they know that they deserve better treatment than what they were getting from this friend. That's a really important thing to be able to know and acknowledge.
Yeah.
And it's true that sometimes someone changes, and sometimes you see someone's true colors.
Yeah.
Like maybe this person was always like this, but under certain circumstances was the only chance when this person was going to be able to see that.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that even if at first you may want to fight this like conflicting perspective that you have on them, you also do need to acknowledge, you know, your own worth and what you deserve. And if this person is treating you poorly, then you obviously don't deserve that.
Yeah, exactly. Shall we read the next one?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so these next two are somewhat similar in each other in the way that it's a very common way of that I hear of friendship breakups, where friends kind of just slowly drift apart and there's not really like rhyme or reason to it. So this first person says, we had been friends for around 7 years, but things began to change around last year. There was a noticeable difference between us, and suddenly we found ourselves having nothing in common. I'd say it was harder than any romantic breakup I've had, because this was someone I saw being in my life forever, and yet there was nothing I could do to stop us from drifting apart. it was harder to because neither of us did anything wrong in the friendship. It was just a matter of realizing that we changed from our high school days and no longer had the same interests. We talk from time to time, but there's definitely a noticeable change and it's been hard to heal from it. So we're giving each other space and hopefully in the future we can reconnect.
This one really resonates with me because I have so many people I was friends with in high school that I haven't spoken to in a really long time, but I still have so much love for those people. I just feel like that love has nowhere to go. And also it like doesn't make sense for us to be in each other's lives anymore. And it's been hard to come to terms with that. I actually, my high school just had their 5-year reunion and I saw everyone went and I actually didn't know what was happening.
Oh my God.
And everyone was like posting these really cute photos and videos of everyone together and I was like, oh, why nobody tell me?
Why did you not know about your high school reunion?
It got a letter was sent to my parents and they didn't tell
me. Oh God, maybe my high school is having a 5-year reunion.
Hey, everyone, check when your 5-year high school reunion is if you want to go.
Yeah, I must say that I can't always resonate with high school friendships because I didn't like myself in high school. And I did have some friends. And actually, I would say a good amount of my high school friends and I, there aren't that many, but the amount that I still speak to, I've had good conversations with all of them about how, like, our lives are very separate. Like, two of them live on the East Coast, and it feels very, like, solidified of, like, okay, like, this is just what our relationship is. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder how I felt about that maybe in, like, first year or after first year, because I do think I struggled a little bit with coming home after my first year and hanging out with some of my high school friends and like it wasn't clicking before. But yeah. I definitely understand the like feeling of having someone in your life where you find that you're like, oh my God, this person is everything. I love being around them, blah, blah, blah. And then I've had so many of those instances where we like hang out after a really long time and then we're just sitting there and it's not flowing like it used to. And it's sad because again, like there wasn't a conflict in this situation. No. It was just like people change and that's unfortunately sometimes how it has to happen.
But also it is fortunate because you've probably grown and they've probably grown and you would never want to hopefully reverse that growth for the sake of this relationship. But I think it's important to know that I think it's great that you guys still stay in touch. I think that you should uphold that as long as it serves you, even if it looks very different than it used to, because that person still holds a very special place for you. And you don't have to reverse the change or growth that you've done, but the dynamic can change.
And I will say that the times in which I've had situations like this happen where like me and a friend kind of just drift apart and we lose that connection, it is very sad. However, I do think that you have like a bit of a threshold where like after a few months or even a year, that pain just kind of like subsides into like, I'm happy that this person is doing whatever. And like when they get brought up, I can think of a very specific person in my head right now where it's like anytime they get brought up and anytime I hear about how they're doing, I'm like, that's fantastic. I'm so happy for them. I'm not in their life anymore and that's okay. But it was very hard, I think, at the forefront where it's like, what's happening with this long-term friend?
My only advice is stay friends with at least one person you went to high school with and one person you went to middle school with. So when someone posts an engagement on Facebook,
you have someone to text.
You have someone to talk to.
I have a friend from middle / high school that anytime anything big happens, I always text them and we'll talk for like 20 minutes and be like, oh my God. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one has a very strong beginning. It says, friendship breakups are hard. I thought it said bad. It's not as easy to address or talk about as romantic breakups, and things often go unexplained or unsaid. The friendship breakup I'm thinking of in particular, it was really drawn out and uncomfortable. It wasn't super dramatic, but we just drifted in a way that left me with a lot of guilt and also questions. I ended up writing a letter to this friend about a year later, and we met up to talk, and it was positive. We are now in good terms, and I hope that we reconnect at some point, although I'm not looking to have them in my life right now. Also, I've been in the middle of several friendship breakups, and it's interesting to navigate staying close with close friends with two people who are no longer friends and aren't on good terms. It's obviously not as difficult or painful as being directly involved, but I found it difficult to stay neutral and to manage sharing time and space with both parties without either relationship changing. That is the thing to say. I was going to say a swear word, and I don't want to say that. I remember this happening a lot in high school, and this has happened like a little bit for me in university. Because I find that being in the middle of a friendship breakup where you really want to, like, stay close to both parties, but both parties probably view you as, like, the person, like, related to this other person, and then ultimately may want to, like, talk to you about stuff or, like, whatever, and then it feels in a way that you have to, like, pick a side or give preference to one side or the other, and then feel a lot of guilt because you're not being able to give this other side time and space. It's a really difficult thing to manage. Like, I think I wouldn't say that it's as hard, obviously, to go through the actual friendship breakup, but I absolutely think it is a really complicated scenario to maneuver.
It's a very challenging role to be in, and I have been in that kind of mutual friend between two people who are having a friendship breakup thing before. And like I said earlier, I consider myself a very loyal person. So when two people in your life who you're close to are expecting loyalty that kind of directly contradicts each other, I've found it very challenging to know what to do. And I think it's really important in those situations that you set up boundaries. Because I think a lot of times people want to come to you and gossip or talk poorly about the other friend because they're having a lot of feelings. And, you know, they can do that, but
they
maybe not
with
you.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to get that out of the way of, like, I respect that you two are having issues. I don't really want to be in the middle of it. I know that this is going on, and I love and respect you both, but this is your issue to sort out. And if you want to, if you really want to be kind of a median for this, these people, it's not your responsibility to fix it.
No.
You know, but
you can.
You're able to do that if that's kind of what they're asking for as well. But just, you know, make sure that you're looking out for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's really a shame when you see those situations happen and then there are sides and then one side wins over.
Yeah.
When it really wasn't their issue to side on to begin with.
Yeah. Because I also can think so often about having a mutual friend where it's like I'm not close with this other person anymore, but I have this like mutual person or this person that I do feel close to. And I mean, I won't lie, I feel like there's a part of me that's like, I want to be the favorite, I want to be the person that you prefer. And I have also found that when I've been put in those positions, I felt like I've kind of had to make a choice. Again, so similar to like romantic breakups where it's like a couple breaks up and like, God forbid, they're in a friend group and now everyone's kind of like, oh no, like, where do we go? Like, which side do we choose? And like, as strong as or and as mature and strong and as smart as some people may be, it is still really difficult to like not, you know, prefer one person over the other. And like, maybe that wouldn't have even been in your mind prior to it, but now that it's kind of like right in front of you and you're in the midst of this conflict, like, it's so normal to just feel very torn of like, where do I go with this?
And knowing that those friends do have some expectations for you, and that if you do uphold both friendships, someone actually may be getting hurt and feeling really betrayed by you, quote unquote, choosing someone else. Or, you know, if that's not even what you're trying to do, just spending time with another friend and trying to keep that drama or, you know, that breakup, that's not the right word, that's not what I meant, but kind of those issues separate from your relationship with both of those people. But then, yeah, I've definitely seen friends hanging out with a mutual friend that I'm no longer friends with and been like, ouch, that really hurts. I don't like that. I feel like you're hurting my feelings and you're betraying me.
Yeah. But then also I feel like I've had that feeling and then had to like take a good look at myself and be like, I can't be this way. I have to like let this happen. And like, I don't know if this person is, I don't know if anyone would be looking for advice in this, but honestly, the biggest thing I found that helps with feeling that way is then you you should reach out to somebody else and like go and hang out with another friend.
Like, as in, separate from the situation.
Yeah. Or just like hang out with somebody, because I find that like so often when I like see that someone is hanging out with someone that like I have history with and mm-hmm. it makes me upset, it makes me start to feel very inadequate and mm-hmm. makes me feel like I'm a bad friend or like they prefer this other yeah. person, whatever. And I was feeling a lot of that like a little while ago. And my solution just ended up being that every time I would like see something on social media or I'd hear about it and it would mm-hmm. make me feel bad, I would just make plans with like other people yeah. and just like re kind yeah. of like validate
myself.
Well,
at least myself. These guys like me.
Yeah, these guys are, they think I'm really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I go to the next
yeah,
one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the next one is about how COVID affected Russia. And we got actually quite a few responses about COVID. So this person says, I had a friendship breakup about a year ago. It seemed like it happened really suddenly and it was very difficult because we also lived together. Mm. I was friends with them since I began university and it was hard to lose someone I was so close to for so long. We began to encounter many differences in our views towards COVID precautions. When we talked about it, they chose not to work on the relationship. Looking back, I recognize ways we were growing apart and differences that we had, but it still felt sudden, so we have not had any contact since. I have not had a romantic relationship breakup, so I have no comparison, but I think it may have been harder because people did not recognize it as a loss, a breakup, and allow me the space to grieve. I don't think the healing is finished, but going to therapy has really helped, in parentheses, haha. But honestly, it has been really hard because it has made me think back through every friendship I've had and analyze the reasons around why it ended, leading to a lot of insecurity in my friendships.
Mm. Yeah. This is so interesting, and the way that relationships, romantic or platonic, changed during lockdown, really.
Oh my God, yeah.
Was super interesting, whether it was kind of what this person's talking about with COVID precautions or something that you and I have talked about before, kind of realizing that people you might see all the time because they're friends that you would party with or people that you would go and do a certain activity with, and then that was taken away and now all you had is like people that you would like FaceTime or something like that, and you had to talk to them
yeah.
about stuff in your life and stuff in their life, and you're like, actually I don't have anything in common with these people.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, you and I had a long we've had multiple conversations about people where we're like, I used to spend all my time with these people and I realized that we were just drinking together.
Yeah, friends by convenience.
Friends by convenience. And then you get them in a room and you start talking and you're like, we actually have absolutely nothing in common.
Yeah.
I also think that the thing with COVID and having COVID with friends that you live with, which is a whole ordeal, I found that for me, what I really struggled with, especially during like harsh lockdowns, was then those are the only people that you see. And like, I've always been someone that's kind of like in and out of my home. Like mm-hmm. I, you know, before COVID was like working two jobs and like had all these social engagements and like was doing school full time. So there was lots of time I wouldn't spend in my home. Like I'd come home to do things once in a while. There'd be days where I wouldn't see my roommates, like all that jazz. And then you put everyone in a lockdown where like you have to be around those people
yeah.
and quirks and annoyances that may have never come up and may have never like shown through the surface may have never been an issue. And then on top of that, like with what this person is saying, like I've also had like, I wouldn't say deep friendships and because of differences of COVID opinions, but definitely there were people that I was friends with mm-hmm. that like now I don't really speak to. Yeah. And a big reason was our moral differences on like how to act because mm-hmm. of COVID, how to even like conceptualize of COVID.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I hate that we live in polarization and that like sometimes we can't see eye to eye, but like mm-hmm. this was affecting all of us. Yeah. Like, of course people's relationships were going to change if yeah. people didn't see eye to eye and how yeah. to act.
And it was an emotional thing where, you know, people were dying. People were having their lives taken away. I mean, that's still happening.
Absolutely.
And that was a terrifying thing to start to have to reconcile with. And so when you perceive someone as being more reckless, it was just like, how can you have that person in your life? You just really started to look at them super differently.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was interesting what this person brought up. I thought it was a really interesting point that they talked about how they felt like this was worse than a romantic breakup because the people in their life weren't recognizing it as a loss.
Yeah.
I thought that was super interesting, and thinking about trying to go to friends for support about losing this person in your life. And them not maybe taking it as seriously as they would with a romantic interest.
Yeah, because I don't really know if I can conceptualize that, mostly because I feel like my friends would be very supportive. But I think also in a lot of ways, I don't know if I've always treated those types of friendship breakups in the same way that I would a romantic breakup. Like, I have had really big, like, blowouts with friends. And I feel like that is the time that I, like, walk away and want to talk to someone about it and go through all the details and, like, cry and whatever and, like, mourn that loss a little bit. But I found that more so with friendship breakups, it's always been for me that, like, I recognize it later on and then I have, like, smaller conversations along the way. But, like, I would be horrified if I went to somebody and, like, they just, like, didn't respond in, like, a supportive way.
Yeah. Find more supportive friends.
Find better friends.
And keep them. Don't break up with them.
Okay, so this last one was very long, so we summarized it a little bit. But thank you so much to the person for giving us all the interesting details. Pretty much this person talked about a childhood friend that they had where they had a pretty tenuous relationship throughout high school, but they inevitably stayed friends. And then their, like, actual friendship breakup was, like, this person finding out that their friend had been talking poorly of them and had also been speaking poorly of, like, their mutual friends to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they were having a rough time adjusting to a new school, and hearing that their friend was talking behind their back was making them really uncomfortable. And then they ended up talking to another friend about how this original friend was speaking poorly about them.
True. That,
does that come off all right? Do people understand?
A lot of talking poorly behind other people's backs.
And then this person ended up telling one of these people about it. And then the friend that they had the friendship breakup with found out, confronted them, they admitted it, and then they had this breakup.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Well done.
So then they titled this The Aftermath. And they just said, "Bro, I felt so guilty. And it was a constant me admitting my guilt and shame, but then trying to find ways to move on. I had dreams where we would make up and then just hang out as friends again. I had these dreams over and over and over with the same apology. I'm sorry, I could have handled it better. And she would say the same and we would hang out. I would wake up missing our friendship, but in reality, the girl in those dreams was not what she was like in real life. And being friends with her again wouldn't feel like a happy, cheerful, supportive friend. I couldn't deal with these dreams after 2 years, so I texted her, asked when she was available during my reading break, and flew to see her and apologize, which is crazy. This was the hardest thing I've probably ever done. I sat down with her and basically did not make any excuses because in reality, how I handled things was not the best, no matter how negative it was. And I think that is why I was so hung up on this. We talked, caught up, and agreed to be civil was best. And she even told me that she was also experiencing the same dreams as me.
What?
I don't think she understood the reasons behind my bad actions because she didn't reply, but I knew during all this she was the one who felt hurt at the breakup. I think that me explaining I'm sorry and not trying to back up my actions because of hers is what made it effective for myself, giving her the power over the situation, even though it was all of my own, all for my own relief. She wanted a reason, and I gave her a reason with humility. The dreams sometimes happen, but rarely now. And when I miss her, I realize I miss the good parts of her, and having her in my life is not what I truly want."
Wow.
That's insane!
The fact that they were having the same dreams is so crazy.
And also the fact that she flew out to see her friend. And, like, that is amazing that, like, this all happened. And, like, it seems like they're not actually friends anymore. But, like, this just, they were both having these, like, dreams and thoughts. And they were, like,
but it seems, too, like, this person who submitted this was just having so much guilt and shame and regret that they needed to make amends with this person, if not for them, then just for their own self. And I'm really happy that that was so well received by the other party.
Yeah, it was interesting that the other person, I guess they didn't really write too much about like the other person's response, because I would be interested to know if like the other person also like apologized, because it seemed like they were also somewhere. Right. But that's fantastic. Yeah. And I'm very happy for the two of you. And I think that, you know, we're going to talk about this, I think, in the next section a little bit more. But just like having the ability to reconcile a friendship breakup, and it doesn't have to mean you're still friends or the relationship mm-hmm. stays the same. But that's fantastic. I am so happy that you got to experience that. And like, hopefully that brings you like more light later down the road that like this is an option for you.
And I have to say, I think what's really key here is what they said about not making excuses. Mm. I mean, it takes a very mature person
Absolutely.
To genuinely apologize and not make excuses for their actions. Because I think we always want to justify, and we always want to have that person be like, understanding of, well, this is where I was coming from, or these were my motivating factors, or you hurt me, so I was just hurting you back.
Mm-hmm.
But every apology that I've gotten like that is so insincere, and the apologies that I've given or gotten where you're able to just admit like, hey, I messed up, I hurt you, and that wasn't okay, and I'm really genuinely sorry for that. And I think people respond to that so much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Super quick break.
Super quick.
So don't go anywhere.
Please stay in your seats.
And when we come back, we'll be sharing our own experiences with friendship breakups. So stay tuned for that.
Paul Jacobs, former member of Pottery, plays Wise Hall on May 26th. New music on the way this April. Tickets for his solo show are now on sale.
I said we would be quick. We're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on 101.9 FM CITR. I said that in the wrong
That's
order.
Okay.
And we're talking about breakups between friends. Friendship breakups, you may say.
I love that. So, Hala, I actually don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but
okay,
the word friend has the word end inside of it. Coincidence?
I think not.
Why'd you finish my sentence?
Well, you literally asked me a question.
Well, okay.
And unfortunately, That's it is true. Right in front of me.
It is in the script. I thought you'd like that.
That's great.
So, anyways, a little bit more of a serious note. Would you feel comfortable sharing with me and also everyone listening an experience that you've had with friendship breakups?
I'd feel so comfortable.
Great.
I actually wanted to talk about a time where I think that I was the, not the sole reason, but like mm-hmm. Definitely part of the reason of like messing up.
Right.
And this friendship breakup, I actually, it's been years, but I still think about it so often mm-hmm. and I learn more and more from it. And like the short and sweet version is that I had this like really close friend, thought we would be friends forever, like saw so much like amazing things in them. And after like some time apart and like also them getting a partner, I started to feel really jealous of their partner and also felt that I was really like left behind, which in some aspects I think was true. I don't think that I was being given that much like time and space and all that jazz. But instead of actively trying to talk to my friend about this and like express my issues, I did the very bad thing, which is I got drunk at a party.
Uh-oh.
And I sat down with them and I told them how I felt.
Oh boy.
And then when we did end up having a confrontation, I had forgotten some of what had happened, and they weren't a super confrontational person, so it kind of got blown over. And then like further down the line, like I was just really separating myself from the group of friends that like they were in. And I had found this like new group of friends. And I remember like really just wanting our friendship to like fizzle out. Mm. And I didn't really want to like think about it or talk about it. But they had, you know, actually become very mature in like the time spent where they like sat me down and told me that they wanted to like work on our friendship and whatnot. And it just like didn't work. Mm. I was really like shut out from it at that point. And I was very hurt for like multiple reasons. And I'm sure they were also very hurt. So it just ended up being that our relationship after that point that we like had agreed to like work on it did end up fizzling out.
Yeah.
And like I have no bad blood towards this person, and I don't think they have bad blood towards me. They may. But it taught me, like, it took me a few months and like probably a year to like really like revisit that and be like, that was so wrong of me. Mm-hmm. Like, why I chose not to like actively help and fix the situation. Or if I did want to like spend time apart from this person, I needed to say that.
Yeah.
I think that I was just hoping that this would just fizzle out and I would get annoyed with them when they would like want to hang out, and that just meant that they wanted to be my friend.
But sometimes you do have to kind of trust your instinct of like, this isn't fixable anymore. Yeah. My feelings are too hurt. Not enough time has passed.
Yeah.
We're not going to rebuild this friendship.
No. And like, I think that, you know, both of us made a lot of mistakes. We were very young as well. And I think that the best thing that has come out of that friendship breakup is just I've really learned how to at least try to handle these situations better. Like, you shouldn't get drunk and confront your friends about things that are upsetting you. You should go to your friends and tell them, this is upsetting me. If I need space and time from someone and they are, like, actively asking me for it, like, I've now needed to, like, be able to sit them down and communicate like what I need from them. And I think beforehand it just felt so weird to tell someone that I didn't want to be around them. And I think that is a really,
that's,
you know,
not
hard
an easy thing to say.
It's not, but I don't think it's a mature thing to just like try to ignore it.
Yeah,
like I do think that some relationships mutually fizzle out, and that's perfectly okay. And that's what I wanted so bad from it. But when this person was like actively trying to like reach out and be like, please, like, can we talk? Can we figure this out? I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
And that was unfortunate. And I think about that so often. To this day, I think about that friendship ending.
Do you think about it and wish that you still had that person in your life? Do you think about it and just have regrets about the way that it ended? Is there things that you would want to say to that friend now?
I feel like I think that I don't think we need to be friends. I don't like miss them as a person. I think it's not that they're a bad person. I think that like we are very different people, and I don't really mourn that aspect of it. I think the thing I think about most often is how poorly I behaved.
Yeah.
And I really wish that I did act differently. And like I have thought about reaching out to them before, but like the like breakup part was so odd because we still saw each other all the time, but just we weren't friends and yada yada yada. Like I think that, you know, I would love maybe like a few years down the line to like run into them at a bar and be like, we should have a drink and we should just like be friendly, because like I think that like I always hear about them and they're doing fantastic, and
that's
I'm
great.
Literally so stoked for them. I have no hard feelings. It was just like I think it was an important experience for me to go through. And I think that, like, if you're going to do a friendship breakup poorly, at least you can learn from it.
Right.
And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I've learned about it and I've moved forward.
And now we know.
What about you? Do you want to talk about a friendship breakup?
Yeah. When I was thinking about this episode and sharing a personal anecdote, for some reason it felt a lot more vulnerable than like some of the personal anecdotes I've shared about exes, you know? Like we've been doing a lot of comparing about romantic platonic relationships, and I just feel like I kind of owe these people a bit more privacy than I do my exes for whatever reason. So for that reason, I'm going to keep it fairly vague. But I was in this friend group that kind of fell apart in second year. Mm-hmm. We were all friends in first year. And I think that that, as we've kind of mentioned before, is a very normal thing.
Yeah.
But it's also still painful. And those are people who were a really big part of your university career.
Absolutely.
Whether they will continue to be or not. And now there are people that you really don't see all the time. And it was kind of a weird situation where some of it was kind of just drifting away and some of it was like intentional, intentionally creating distance. And because of some of those issues that had popped up, I was still holding on to some resentment towards those people. And I also felt really guarded if we ever ran into each other at a party. It wasn't like, oh my God, like, hey, we haven't seen each other in so long. Let's catch up. How are you doing? It was kind of like, oh, like, what do you think of me? And what do I think of you? And this is not good. And right. I don't want to be seeing you. And I think a lot of that, like, fear that I was having was because, you know, with the issues we were having, a lot of those issues weren't actually being talked about. They were kind of just known. And they were out there, but we weren't discussing them. And then we kind of migrated away from each other. But what's really interesting about this friendship breakup is that I've recently reconnected with a few of the people from that friend group in my fifth year of university.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And one former friend in particular reached out with a really long, really sincere apology to me that came out of the blue. I was not expecting it at all. Honestly, when I opened my phone and saw it, a huge Facebook message from them, I was like, are you like, what's going on? What could this possibly be?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was like the sweetest apology ever. Aww. And, you know, doing what this person was saying of just taking accountability for their side of things, apologizing and not making any excuses.
Yeah.
And also they weren't even really asking for forgiveness or to rekindle the friendship. They just genuinely wanted to give me and this person closure for what had happened in our relationship and the fact that we hadn't had closure. And I wrote down this line from the apology that really stays with me, which is, I know people aren't revolving doors you can pass through whenever you want.
Oh, yeah, I really like that.
And it was just, you know, this acknowledgement of like, I messed up and you don't have to say it's okay, but I need you to know that I messed up. And that felt literally amazing. And so much time had passed that I was so ready to let go of that fear and that resentment that I felt towards these people. And so that apology kind of came at this perfect time, and it actually allowed me to apologize for my part in things. And it made me realize that I actually could have been the one to send that message. But I don't think I ever would have. So it was really, really inspirational and brave of this person to send me this. And I know that this person has mentioned that sometimes they listen to Therapy Hour. So if you're listening right now, I really appreciated that you sent that. It really meant a lot to me. And it made me think that I want to say on this episode that I would highly encourage other people to send a message if they're feeling brave, but just making sure that enough time and space has been given, because I think that's what allowed me to receive this so well.
Absolutely.
And otherwise, I don't think I would have been able to.
And I think also, like, we are running out of time, and I just wanted to add, like, one little anecdote that, like, I've also received apologies before, and it's been, like, enough time has passed. And I think that the biggest reason why those feel the most genuine is because they're usually not coming from a place of, like really needing or wanting forgiveness from this other person, or needing any type of, like, validation, or, like, wanting to, like, be friends again. And, like, you know, we've been talking around this episode of how, you know, friendship breakups are going to happen. Unfortunately, not all the friends that you have are going to stay in your life forever. And that's really difficult. But what can happen is that you can at least look fondly over those memories. And I think, at least what I'm assuming from this situation, is, like, now, instead of, like, thinking back to this friend group and thinking about all these things that were, like, really tainted by the fact that, like, it wasn't a great ending, you can now maybe look back and be like, yeah, we're not friends anymore, but we had a great time. And, like, there's so many friends now that, like, I'm not friends with anymore, But we've like reconciled, mm-hmm. we've healed, and now we can like move forward. And like, I can just be happy for them.
Right.
And that's all it's I very wish freeing. For. It is so freeing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for sharing your little anecdote with me.
Of course.
Your homework for this week is to try writing a letter to someone that you've had a friendship breakup with. It can be a recent friendship breakup that's really fresh. It can be one that's from ages ago. You don't have to send it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to apologize for anything that you don't want to. Just write out your thoughts and feelings on what happened, and I think it can be a really cathartic experience. And then if it goes great and you want to send it, you can.
Send it. This is classic therapy 101. Yeah. Write a letter to the person that you're talking about.
We are therapy hour after all.
We are therapy hour. And this, and as someone who has done this before, this mm-hmm. exercise is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hate to say it, but this has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Hole.
And I'm Violet. This is Therapy Hour, because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Please be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to weekly episodes, baby. We're going to be talking about something kind of interesting. We're going to be talking about parenting styles. It'll be very research heavy. It'll be very fun. We can't wait to see you all or hear you all or have you listen. None of these things. We can't wait until next week. Thank you for tuning in. We love ya.
Bye.
Bye.